Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and that's Mr. Carlos Santana on lead guitar there. My website is www.jbsba.com. When you get there, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes every week by email. I think you'll like it. If you don't, it's easier to unsubscribe than it is to subscribe. And don't forget all the other things you can do there at my website. That's jbsba.com. If you have a question or a comment, you can find that information. You can deliver your thoughts by sending me an email, askjim@jbsba.com. Bill Jensen is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Bill is the author of Simplicity and Work 2.0. He's the president and CEO of the Jensen Group, and his life's work is to make it easier for people to get stuff done, as he says. He's also the author of a book I'm holding in my hand, The Simplicity Survival Guide. Bill Jensen, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. Great to be back.
It's good to have
you
back.
Before we go farther, let me just compliment you on your music. I have to dial in more often. Born in the USA, Santana. I'm going to dial in just for the music.
Well, this is the small business show that rocks, no question about it. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it, Bill. Hey, thanks, Bill. Hey, you've been traveling quite a bit. I mean, you've been as far afield as Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Singapore. Now, that's an interesting, plus many other places in the last few months. You've been traveling around. Now, what have you been talking to these folks about as you travel around?
Well, the trip just was in the last 2 weeks. It was Chattanooga, Atlanta, Singapore, Hong Kong, China, Santa Fe, and then an unnamed pharmaceutical company in New Jersey.
Right.
Just in a 2-week period. And I've been doing a lot of workshops, helping people work smarter and do less of the stuff that doesn't really matter and more of what does. And in those workshops, I've been helping people take more control of their life and their work life. And
now,
I focus
every one of those communities have a different culture. I mean, Atlanta, Chattanooga are pretty much the same, but they're a different culture from Santa Fe, and certainly Singapore is from Chattanooga or Atlanta.
You know, what's interesting about your comment is very often I'm asked as I travel, tell us what's different about us than the last place you visited. And I actually try to focus on what's the same. And there's a couple things that I can tell you that are the same no matter where I go in the world. The first is audiences always fill the back of the room first. Around the world, nobody wants to sit in the front.
It's automatic.
That's one thing I can tell you.
That's a natural law. That's a natural law, Bill.
And the other thing is, and one of the things I wanted to talk with you about this morning is there's a common theme I keep hearing everywhere, no matter where people are, in China or Hong Kong or here. I constantly hear, quote unquote, "You don't understand. My boss won't let me." There's a lot of people out there.
This is when you're asking them about you're recommending simplification rules for them, ideas on how to simplify their life, on how to do less work and get more done.
And to be honest, Jim, the way I phrase it in workshops is to cut the crap. We all know we can be doing a lot of less stupid stuff that companies want and bosses want us to do.
Right. And they're telling you around the country and all these different cultures around the world, all these different cultures that you don't understand. That's not how it's done here.
Exactly. And there's validity to that. But there's also validity to, okay, when are you going to take personal accountability, for your career, for your job? I hear so much, my boss won't let me, or my boss just doesn't get it, or that may work in such and such place, but it won't work here.
What are the type of things that you're recommending? Give us a couple of specifics that would be an example of what somebody would say, "You don't understand, my boss won't let me do that." What's an example?
I really help people. I have done a lot of research in the books that you referred to, and I have discovered that the biggest time bandits that eat up our day all relate to communication. The number one is meetings. The number two is dealing with communication from other people, like emails and other things like that. And number three is dealing with communication to other people, the presentations you have to make and the emails you have to send out. So I try and give people quick tips as to how to get to the point quicker, how to eliminate and delete the stupid stuff, and how to ask better questions so they waste less time in meetings.
Now, see, small business owners might have a tendency to do to the human tendencies to do all those things, but one of the things that you don't have an awful lot of in small businesses is meetings, because you know, one of the things that when you work in a big company, there are a lot of people to do a lot of things. When you work in a small business, there are not many people to do a lot of things.
And, that
cuts out the crap pretty quick.
It cuts out the crap, but I also got to tell you, small businesses, what I find more often than big businesses, don't always do the context setting. Because they don't have those meetings, because they're not connecting with people, they're not helping people connect the dots. They're so quick in the transactional,
you're exactly
do
right.
this, do this, do this, that a lot of people in small businesses that I meet have really hard time understanding why they're doing what they're doing and how to get it done. It's just go do it.
You're exactly right. And I've said for years and years that small businesses, big businesses meet too much and small businesses don't meet enough.
And it's the key is, how do you get the best and most communication in the shortest period of time?
Where small businesses delude themselves, I think, Bill, into thinking that they're getting something done without meetings, is they have little mini meetings going passing each other in the hallway,
right?
And they think that they're conveying the communication that you were talking about earlier. They think they're conveying that then, when the truth is all that is what I call a flyby, and it's not very effective.
Well, flybys can be effective as long as you had the big let's get together and get aligned and get on the same page meeting. The flybys then work great. But if your culture is totally flybys and nobody gets together before those and say, why are we doing this? Let's all be sure we're aligned and on the same page. That's where the flybys create a ton of chaos.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Bill, we're going to take a quick break in a few seconds. When we come back, I want you to help us understand, as small business owners, how we can find this middle ground where we have enough meetings but not too many, and we're effective in those meetings. And we're going to do that right after these messages, folks. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Bill Jensen is our guest. He's the author of The Simplicity Survival Handbook. Back, it's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Bill Jensen. And his last name is spelled with two E's, Jensen, and J-E-N-S-E-N, and the author of The Simplicity Survival Handbook, among other books. And Bill, you got an announcement to make. You just cut a new deal, didn't you?
I did. Thank you for letting me mention that. The next book that will come out about a year from now is called Work Diaries, What Really Matters. And it's a collection of letters from us to our kids. I have found, whether it's small business owners or big execs and big companies, when we start having to tell our kids what really matters at work, all of a sudden the truth starts coming out and we start dealing with a lot of stuff that we aren't necessarily truthful about to ourselves.
Right.
So that'll come out about a year from now.
Well, congratulations. And you, did you mention the publisher?
HarperCollins.
Congratulations. And I hope you'll plan on launching that book on this show a year from now.
You got it, as long as you keep playing great music.
Don't worry about that. Give us your website, Bill.
I'm sorry?
Your website?
www.simplerwork.com.
And they can find out more about your other books. And do you have anything else there for us?
Free tools, everything
free
we're
tools.
Talking about.
Like
there's
those.
Lots of free stuff on the site.
All right. We like free stuff. Bill, when I when I used to be a consultant to small business, one of the things I heard a lot was that my clients knew that I had come from a major corporate background, and they were afraid I was going to put some of this complicated management mumbo jumbo on them. and you know, I actually had clients, small business clients, who would say to me, "Oh, well, you know, we're not like that big company you used to work for. We can't operate like that." And that was their excuse for having literally no management meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And every client I ever got to have one management meeting a month, every one of those companies got better after that.
Absolutely. It's absolutely critical to have that coordinating meeting again as to why we're doing what we're doing. Are we clear on what the mission is? Are we clear on how we're going to measure the success of this project? Are we clear on the outcomes? Are we clear on roles and responsibilities? Those are critical.
All right, let's say that somebody out there is really afraid that this is going to get out of hand. How do we help them identify when one meeting a month becomes, you know, what does it look like when it becomes unproductive, when maybe all of a sudden we're having six meetings a month, there are little bitty meetings all around the office, and the boss is starting to get worried that maybe nothing's getting done? How does that look?
Well, the first is to make sure your meetings are productive. Just go around and ask, you know, 5-10 employees, if you have that many, what are you doing today and why are you doing it? And if you get 5-10 totally different answers that don't sound right and don't sound like they're coming from the same company, that's a hint as to the fact that you're not having enough meetings. The other way to begin having those meetings is keep them very short-term focused. What are we going to get accomplished in the next 90 days, the next 30 days, the next 2 weeks? Keep them very action-oriented and project-specific. Don't try and solve world hunger. Don't try and solve the culture all in one shot. Don't try and solve the fact that the boss doesn't get it all in one shot. Deal with, or the employees don't get it in one shot. Deal with very, very transactional things. And that will help a lot.
Another thing that happens is sometimes, you know, in a small business, a meeting that takes place during the day takes away from taking care of customers.
Right.
We typically don't have enough people to go off and have a meeting while somebody else is waiting on the customers. So
right.
Scheduling the meetings is a challenge for us.
Still, for most organizations, if you don't do those during the regular work day or work week meetings, it will show in the client interface. It will show that you're not coordinated. So any company, no matter what their size, should have some kind of regular staff meetings. Again, the longer meetings, do them infrequently, but make sure you're all aligned. The shorter meetings can be the flybys, but reconnect to the meeting that happened 3 months ago where everybody was aligned.
How about you know, the meetings after hours or on Saturdays or early morning or whatever? What do you think about those meetings?
Those work fine, but you, especially small business owners who, you know, work, you know, 29 hours a day every day, tend to destroy other people's and their own work-life balance that way. So
mm-hmm.
That's another critical component to keep in mind. There are only 1,440 minutes in every day, and you are asking for people to use a portion of their life. So you've got to make sure that if you're demanding a Saturday meeting or an evening meeting, it's worth it, you know, mm-hmm. because you're taking away from that person's life, and you got to make sure you're providing enough value in that meeting to take up a portion of their
so
life.
So sounds like you're saying one of the best ways to do that is to make sure that they're kind of running the meeting rather than you being the dictator of the meeting.
Absolutely, you know, are based on their needs, as well as electronic interface, either posting common stuff on a website or trading emails or Lotus Notes back and forth
mm-hmm.
can work at any time in the day.
Right. Bill, give us your website one more time.
www.simplerwork.com.
And there are some handy tools there, folks, that are free. Bill's new book is called The Simplicity Survival Handbook, and it's available wherever books are sold. Right, Bill?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Bill Jensen, for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, sir.
We'll see you next time. Bill Jensen, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. Got to take a quick break. I'll be right back with Mr. Rick Pinion. It's 29 after. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Prosperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.